race, ethnic background, position in society, and or financial status will be no barrier for us. The person Philip encountered happened to be an Ethiopian, a black man, not of the Israelites, from outside Judea and Samaria and Galilee. He was a very important official, and therefore a man of prestige, power, and wealth, who probably was traveling with a retinue of servants and soldiers. He was, in addition, a eunuch, which Philip could somehow determine from the man's outer appearance. As a Jew, Philip was familiar with the command of God given through Moses in Deuteronomy 23. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. Any one of these factors could have caused Philip to hesitate or to turn back. However, God, who told the evangelist to go up to the official, empowered Philip to do so. We will be in situations where we have the opportunity to serve people with whom we would not normally associate for various reasons. They may be totally unfamiliar to us, or from a very wealthy suburb, or from the wrong part of town, world famous, or in prison, politically powerful, or suffering from AIDS. Yet Christ, who gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, will enable us to take his word to anyone. We furthermore observe that Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, as our text says, the good news about Jesus. He proclaimed Christ. That is the essence of our work in the church. We teach and preach the Savior. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Notice that Philip had as the basis for his message the biblical text, specifically Isaiah 53, the fourth servant song, and a proper interpretation thereof. On the one hand, the evangelist did not say to the official, let me tell you how you can reach your best self now. Or, I'm going to show you the power of positive thinking. Or, this is my advice on how you can win friends and influence people. On the other hand, Philip did not declare the message which would be given by many theologians today, who are well-publicized, well-published, and holding positions of prestige in universities and seminaries. They would explain that Isaiah was talking about himself, or about King Hezekiah, or about the nation Israel, or about the ideal believer. They would be united in presenting a wrong meaning, anything but the right one, due to their liberal theology. Philip imparted to the official the correct interpretation of the fourth servant song. This moving poetic piece is an awesome portrayal of the Messiah, who was often silent when he was being tried by the Sanhedrin and Pilate and by Herod. Isaiah emphasized in the song that the Messiah was the holy, innocent one, suffering and dying in the stead of, as a substitute for sinful people. God laid on him, Isaiah wrote, the iniquity of us all, and then crushed and killed him with the penalty which humanity's sin deserved. As the atoning sacrifice for the world's iniquity, the servant underwent horrendous suffering. However, his agony was also totally successful, completely paying for the transgressions of all people. Further, the servant in the song emerges victorious, coming back to life again, and then bringing many people to faith in himself. These gospel themes we heard in the second article of the Creed and in Luther's explanation. Philip announced to the Ethiopian that Jesus, the man the official surely had heard about in Jerusalem, was the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament. Philip related to the official that this Christ, the God-man, with his life, death, and resurrection, was the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and all the other messianic prophecies. The eunuch, as a proselyte, already had some familiarity with God's word. He might first have come into contact with Scripture through the Jewish military colony on the island of Elephantine in the Nile River, just north of Ethiopia. In telling the eunuch the full story about Jesus, Philip also taught him about the sacraments which Christ instituted. The official then was eager to be baptized when they came to water. Therefore, we see again that the message which Philip brought is the same one that we speak today. Finally, this text reminds us of something else about our work. We are merely God's instruments. God converts. God simply uses us to preach and teach his word and to administer the sacraments through which he brings people to saving faith and preserves them in that faith. But what a way to be used by the Lord for people's everlasting joy. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. He realized that under the new covenant, he could fully participate in the assembly of the Lord. He saw himself as included in another passage of Isaiah, a promise of God to believing eunuchs. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. The eunuch's name and joy is that of all believers would continue forever in heaven and in the world to come. He was the first full Gentile converted to the Christian faith. And his story in Acts comes right before the chapter on the conversion of the man who would be known as the apostle to the Gentiles. The account of Philip and the Ethiopian provides us with a great descriptive summary of our work in the church. God help us ever to retain these truths of our text and live by them. In Jesus' name, amen.